You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance on a Thursday where everything is coming at us fast and furious. The football news continues to fly in. Free agency, it just barely started, and yet it feels like half the league has been completely reshaped. Plus, we got March Madness underway and all kinds of fun. That and a whole lot more. D. Wood, good enough to hang out after we wrap up Get Up. Let's get this thing started.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
All right, the one place to start will be a little football. Let's just be honest about what just happened here. So we do like a NASCAR changeover at the end of Get Up every single day, right? We have our crew, the hardest working collection of outstanding people in the world that work behind the scenes on Get Up and on this radio show. They come racing out here. We finish Get Up. We have 60 seconds to literally shift everything around, get everything set up for this. And I just slide 6 feet to the right and say, back and better than ever, and away we go. In the middle of that today, purely by accident, one member of our crew, who shall remain nameless, just knocked over a large coffee that just got is all over everything, including my shoes, and it just sort of threw everything off. So I'm not going to lie to you. Nothing was ready when we started. My screen's not ready. Why are you looking at me like that, Hembo?
Because those shoes don't look cheap.
Well, there's a reason they don't look cheap. I'll tell you right now. I can tell you that I'll give you one guess why they don't look cheap. So we will see. So one way or another, but we're fine. It's the whole area smells like coffee, but it's kind of a nice smell. And we'll get to the bottom of all this and a whole lot more as we go. D. Wood, good enough to hang out after we wrap up Get Up today. Good to have you, big fella.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. So let's go through this as we look at free agency, because there are a lot of moves left to be made. But most of the names people know have already gone off the board. Which would you identify as the single most impactful move, the one you think will have the biggest impact on something significant, deep playoff run / Super Bowl next year?
Kirk Cousins. I mean, obviously we talk about the most important position in sports. And listen, anyone who watched the Atlanta Falcons play last year clearly saw that the quarterback position was a detriment to that whole team, that whole roster. When you talk about the Atlanta Falcons, obviously you look at the offensive side of the football. They've invested heavily at the offensive skill position, whether you talk about Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. They have a very good offensive line, by the way. Okay, all they were missing was a quarterback. Now you enter in Kirk Cousins, who was, as Hembo points out to me on multiple occasions, was on his way to his best statistical year as a quarterback up in Minnesota. On pace to throw for about 5,000 yards, and I think what 39?
Almost 40 touchdowns.
Almost 40 touchdowns. So, you know, enter that into the equation in Atlanta, and like we say down south, you're cooking in fish grease as far as that team is concerned.
So that I agree with that. And here I believe they become a legitimate Super Bowl contender in an NFC where – The lineup of teams you got to get through is underwhelming. In the AFC, I wouldn't consider them that at all. But in the NFC, let's talk about what they are. And Hembo, you and I touched on this yesterday. Is Kirk Cousins worth $100 million? In a vacuum, maybe not. But life doesn't take place in a vacuum. Life takes place in the circumstances in which you find yourself. And the Falcons may very well have been exactly Kirk Cousins away from being a Super Bowl contender. One of the most important things they do by signing a free agent and not drafting a rookie quarterback, not only do they get themselves a proven commodity and not have to develop a rookie with a ready-made winning roster, but you also keep the eighth pick in the draft, which while everyone else is losing their minds trying to get quarterbacks and wide receivers, they can sit back and take the best defensive player on the board. Maybe this kid Dallas Turner from Alabama, who's a pass rusher, whoever it is they like. So they can start improving their defense immediately as well. So is he worth $100 million? In their particular case, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, D-Wood, there are a few parallels we can draw here, I think, or situations with which we can compare this. Obviously, Tom Brady going to Tampa,
yep,
that yielded a championship right away.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford going to the Rams, that yielded a championship right away. Derek Carr going to the Saints didn't do that.
Right.
Derek Carr got exactly $100 million guaranteed, just like Kirk Cousins. They were a 7-win team before he got there, just like the Falcons are now, and they improved to 9-8. Their offense got better, but they didn't make the playoffs, and generally speaking, Derek Carr played like Derek Carr. Do you believe that Kirk Cousins, at this juncture in his career, is closer to Derek Carr or the aforementioned Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady?
Well, listen, from a physical standpoint, he doesn't match... You know, he doesn't match Tom Brady or Matthew Stafford, but I think he's closer to those guys than he is Derek Carr. Derek Carr was a guy that obviously the Las Vegas Raiders thought that they needed to move on from. He goes down to New Orleans, who, by the way, New Orleans have weapons on offense. But he was, you know, mediocre at best. And that's just putting it lightly, with the New Orleans Saints. So I think Kirk Cousins. Here's another, you know, added bonus to this whole Kirk Cousins situation is he's basically going to be playing the same offense that he ran in Minnesota. Zach Robinson, who comes over as the OC down in Atlanta, came from the Los Angeles Rams. That's the same offense that Kevin O'Connell ran, you know, up in Minnesota. So he doesn't have to worry about verbiage and all that stuff. He's literally going to hit the ground running as far as knowing the offense and just getting his skill position guys on the same page.
So I think that is going to be a huge one. Another one I love is Derrick Henry, and I will tell you why. And I wish that I'm going to give credit where it's due. My old boss, Vince Doria, who used to be the executive news director here at ESPN forever, he was the sports editor of the Boston Globe for a long time. He really is a person who is largely credited for putting together, with a few other people, the news gathering operation of ESPN, and did it brilliantly forever. He's now retired. But anyway, he watches Get Up all the time, and he sent me this note after Ryan Clark yesterday said, yeah, what does it mean for the Ravens? They're going to be good at running the ball. You know what? They've already been good at running ball. They're always good at running the ball. And I didn't respond to him this way because I didn't think of it. But Vince sent me a note that said, the next time someone says that, say to them, are they good at running the ball? Or is Lamar Jackson good at running the ball? Lamar Jackson was their leading rusher last year. Are they a great rushing team because they have the best running quarterback who ever lived? Or are they a great rushing team unto themselves? Derrick Henry is a one-man rushing attack. Derrick Henry is one of one. Running backs have been devalued to the point that it's almost ridiculous. We're talking about, oh, he's 30 years old. Stop it. Derrick Henry is a difference-making player, and he is going to make the Ravens a legitimately good rushing team, and he is going to keep Lamar Jackson from taking anywhere near the volume of punishment that he has been taking since he came into the league.
You know what makes this a great situation for Derrick Henry? The fact that Lamar Jackson is arguably the greatest running back, the greatest running quarterback that we've seen. It's going to help him out tremendously. And I'm talking about Derrick Henry because we always talk about numbers, right? We talk about numbers. When you have a running quarterback, it changes the math as far as how defense got to defend it. And so now you got Derrick Henry in the same backfield as Lamar Jackson. That is scary. Then you have Mark Andrews. You got, you know, Zay Flowers. You got all these different pieces now, you know, that on that offense. And so Derrick Henry is going to bring an attitude. And his attitude matches exactly with the Baltimore, when you think about the Baltimore Ravens, right? We think of tough, hard-nosed defense running the football. Well, guess what? That's what Derrick Henry brings. And Dominique brought up something as well is, you know, a guy like Derrick Henry who's had so much success in his career and he goes to Baltimore, he just wants to win a championship. Those guys that those revered veterans that come to your locker room that have one singular focus on winning a championship – you wouldn't believe how many guys would watch and follow those type of guys. Because the one thing we know about Derrick Henry, he has an unbelievable work habit, unbelievable work ethic. And I think that's going to add another dimension to that Baltimore Ravens offense.
You know, I'm intrigued by the thought that that Vince sent you. It's not really backed up numerically, though. So what I'm able to do here is look up just the amount of production that teams receive from the running back, excluding all the rushing they get from receivers or quarterbacks or anybody else. Over the last 5 years, the Ravens running backs rank 7th in the league in rushing yards a game at 104, and they lead the NFL in rushing average. Now, the reason that they're so successful, of course, is largely because Lamar Jackson is there as well, who can do all that sort of stuff.
Right.
I don't disagree with the notion that Derrick Henry makes them a lot better, but I don't necessarily think this run game is going to go from one stratosphere to the next merely because he comes
in. No, it doesn't have to go to another stratosphere. It was already as good as any in the league. What it does is it means it stays there without Lamar Jackson getting the crap kicked out of him in every single game. I mean, the Lamar Jackson last year had, I pulled up the numbers here, Lamar Jackson had 148 rushing attempts last year in 16 games. I mean, that's not sustainable, right? You can't have your quarterback getting hit like that all the time. He was the MVP of the league. He threw for 3,700. I'm rounding up numbers here. We're rounding off numbers. He threw for roughly 3,700 yards last year and ran for 800. So you all of a sudden you have Derrick Henry picking up those 800 yards, and now you got Lamar Jackson doing the stuff that not having to do that stuff. I think that's a recipe for success.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Ultimately, if you're able to take touches away from Lamar Jackson, you know, I think it would be a good thing for your organization. Obviously, you don't want to put your franchise quarterback in harm's way by continuing to run the ball with the quarterback. But I just look at, you know, in the backfield, always, again, I talk about numbers game when it comes to the running game. When you have the dynamic quarterback that's able to make those type of plays, man, like Derrick Henry got to be licking his chops. Like, man, the holes that I will be seeing. Because the one thing about we said about Derrick Henry is you better get him before he gets going. Because once he gets going, he is literally a house to try to bring down. And I think that's the advantage he's going to have in Baltimore, is being able to get to those second level, as opposed to in Tennessee, where a lot of times playing behind bad offensive line play, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. One more for me, and Hembo, maybe this will make you feel good about the signing that your team, the Eagles, made of Saquon Barkley. So Barkley got paid, should we call it $12 million a year? Is that roughly what it is?
Yeah, that's
12
about right.
And change?
But 26 guaranteed, which is a lot for a running back.
26 guaranteed, which is a lot for a running back. But it's not a one-year deal. So his salary is not $12 million, is not $26 million. So I guess the guarantee now, the concern there is the running back might have a greater risk of being injured. But someone made the point to me yesterday, and I do not mean this to single this player out. God bless him. I want every football player to make as much money as they possibly can. I've seen what you guys put yourselves through to make this career. I'm so happy for everybody who makes all this money. But Jacksonville just paid Gabe Davis $13 million a year to play wide receiver for them. Gabe Davis does not have anywhere near the impact on a game that Saquon Barkley does. There were games last year. I remember I was impressed with Gabe Davis one week. I remember talking about this on the show, that his teammates gave him, or the coaches gave him, a game ball at the end of one game in which he had not had a target because he was such a good blocker, and that demonstrates him to be a great teammate, which is awesome. But it also means that they didn't throw him the ball once. There was a game in which they did not throw him the ball one time, and that guy got paid $13 million a year, and no one blinks an eye. So how in the world is $12 million too much for Saquon Barkley?
I don't even look at Saquon Barkley as a running back, and I know it's crazy. He's a weapon. He's a weapon. We don't look at Deebo Samuel as a wide receiver. We look at him as a weapon. Christian McCaffrey, we look at him as a weapon. Those guys that you literally, on Wednesday morning, when you come in your meetings and you talk, and you go over the game, you know, game plan, and those are the guys that you literally circle on the board and be like, okay, guys, if we don't stop him, we're not winning the game. And so for me, certain guys, I don't even put them in a specific group. They're just weapons that you got to find a way to stop them. That's what Saquon Barkley is to the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a weapon that can be deployed in multiple ways.
Yeah, and at this juncture in his career, I think Saquon Barkley, while not Christian McCaffrey, is still in his prime and still good enough, especially in that environment, to thrive, because he's never been on a team with A.J. Brown.
Oh, my God.
Or Devontae Smith, or that offensive line, or
Jalen. Or Dallas Goedert.
All of the above. Like, this is a perfect football scenario for Saquon Barkley, where his skill set can be maximized and where he can sort of stick it to the Giants twice a year too.
Absolutely.
So we'll see if they're able to do it. I think he has a chance to be a significant difference maker. All right, I'm going to go clean my shoes. D1, awesome of you to stick around. Thank you very much. Yeah. We'll get the hashtag crew ready to go as we roll on this Thursday. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So much football, so little time. We'll dive into all of it in 30 seconds. After this reminder that ESPN Bet is now live. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. All right, so I don't know what constitutes a big number here. So people were making a very big deal about Schefter's iPhone screen time on Monday. So Adam Schefter, who is the Rolls Royce of the NFL insider business, the number one person in the industry and has been for a long time, is legendary amongst all of us for constantly being on his phone. I mean, constantly. And I have said many times on the air, both jokingly and not so jokingly, that there were very few things on TV more compelling than watching Schefter on his phone. If Schefter is looking at his phone or talking on his phone or doing something on his phone, something interesting is very likely about to happen. So what was his, let's bring the hashtag crew in. You've heard from Hembo already. Bubba and Cam are here. What was Schefter, his total screen time on Monday was 17 hours and 23 minutes. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, I assume that's a very big number.
I mean, there are 24.
I mean, you think about how many hours there are in a day.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good percentage of that.
That's a good starting point.
But how is screen time calculated? Which is to say, it's any time that your phone is not in lock mode?
I believe so. I believe it's any time it is like open from the lock screen and is
okay. So
is
like
active,
right now, yeah. I'm not looking at my phone, but I just opened it. I just scrolled up and opened. So it's right now. That's
tick, tick,
counting.
Tick 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 tick.
I don't know. Time. I mean, is it?
I don't know. How does it know if you're looking at it?
You looking at it doesn't matter, but I think it's
if
assuming.
It's if it's open, then the screen
so
time
it.
Is counting.
So it locks. And does that have to do with like you can set how long you want your phone to go sleeping until it locks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that has something to do with it, too.
I'd imagine
like my phone always locks much too. You know what locks too fast? When I'm doing the NFL draft, my laptop locks too fast. Like if I don't touch it, I find myself sitting there just rubbing my finger on the little, like what is this thing called?
The mouse pad?
The mouse pad. Mm. But it's not a mouse pad. Like, it's not a mouse and then a pad. It's the thing itself. It's like its own little cursor mover. And I find myself, like, literally, while I'm talking to Mel, just doing this with my finger, just running it around on the mouse pad thing, because I don't want the screen to close down.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you can set it so it doesn't turn off.
How? Yeah,
that's super easy.
Someone explain that to me.
Have Hembo doing it at a break.
Is that the laptop you're going to use, or are you going to use a different laptop?
No, I use my own one.
Okay, so we can work on that then.
Okay, so how long can you set it to stay open?
Indefinitely, as long as you want. You could have it never lock if you don't want to.
I don't want it to lock.
Well, there you go.
You just got to have it charged then constantly. That's
well, I have it plugged in.
Right,
that's one of
the reasons why it shuts down is because it's saving battery.
Okay, so now we're learning a lot of things here today.
No, you are.
But anyway, the point is, just to try and put some context to this, his screen time was 17 hours and 23 minutes. Can you tell me what your screen time is?
I sure can.
Like, so you can do it, but today is only not even half over yet.
But it averages it out over a week. So I'm looking here under my settings. I'm hitting screen time, and my daily average reads 3 hours, 22 minutes.
Now, that strikes me as a very small number.
It's pretty good.
What do you mean pretty good?
3 hours and 20. Well, I think you want to minimize your screen time, but you use your laptop all the time. So it doesn't count that, right?
No.
I've never seen you even look at your phone.
Like, I'm primarily a computer person.
You're a computer person. Mm-hmm. So do you know what your screen time is on that?
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing?
No, that's not a thing.
So it's a thing
that's
to know.
That's closer to 17 hours, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're certainly much closer to 17 hours than 3 hours on that laptop.
I mean, I've never seen
you without it.
I'm on this thing a dozen hours a day, probably.
Hembo and I run downstairs to get lunch at this place called the Tin Building across the street almost every single day after the show. And we will sit down. I've got my little thing of tuna and a soup. He's got whatever it is he's eating. And he just puts his computer down. He's got his laptop just sitting there on this little, you know, table, as though he might have to calculate some, you know, mean or median while we're sitting there eating lunch.
I might.
So
you never know.
Bubba, what is your screen time?
Let's take a look here. I average 4 hours, 41 minutes.
Okay, so that's more than Hembo. Cam, what is yours?
This week right now it's at 4:20, and I think you can look at your laptop screen time if you have an Apple laptop, but I don't know if Hembo does.
I do not.
How do I know mine? My screen time?
You don't know how to
tell my screen time?
How to find
it's
it?
It's in the settings.
I didn't even know this existed till yesterday.
Okay, so this will be very fun to find
out.
You
might not have it turned
on.
How
do I find this out?
That's true. Can you go to your settings? It is the thing that the gray icon with little black spokes, like it's a bicycle wheel. Can you find that on your phone?
This one. Yep, got it.
Okay. And I would suggest that on the top you search for screen. That's going to be the best way to do this.
On the top?
Just like search underneath settings.
You
can
I
just
see.
Search
screen.
And I think that should be the first thing
time.
That pops up. Let's see.
So it says always allowed, app limits, communication safety. Got a lot of options here. Parental controls.
No, just click on screen time.
Just click on the word screen time? Okay. Daily average, 4 hours and 50 minutes.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, so it's you.
That's
over
down
Bubba.
7% from last week.
Wow.
How about that?
You're off the grid.
Yeah, I mean, so that means that I actually am looking at this phone. Now, let me ask you a question.
A lot of time.
Okay, so when I work out, I have music playing on this phone nonstop. Like, and I've been working out a lot lately. As you can probably tell, I'm yoked.
I was going to say something.
So I've got the AirPods in, and the phone is not even in front of me. I put it over like on a little shelf in the room, and I'm listening to like a playlist that I've made. Does that count?
I don't believe so.
That's not screen time?
No.
If your phone's off, then
no,
it's not.
That wouldn't count.
Well, but it's on. I mean, the phone is playing music.
But it's got to be unlocked. It's got to be unlocked. If you kept it unlocked and you were playing music, which I'm assuming you're not, it would count as screen time.
I don't know.
Like, if you use a navigation app, that counts, obviously, because it's open, even though you're not actively clicking on it.
A navigation app mean like Waze?
Like Waze or Google Maps or anything like that.
I use those. Not often, though, because I just don't drive very much anymore now that I live in the city.
We all, I think, are on our phone a fairly normal amount, four times less than Sheffy.
So you're telling me that 5 hours a day, 4 hours and 55 minutes a day, which is that's 25% almost of my life I spend looking at this phone?
Can you believe that?
You didn't know that?
We got to do a challenge.
We're addicted.
We got to get this way down.
What do you want to be at?
That's too much. Half that.
Half that?
I want to be under 2 hours.
You could do it if you weren't working and on the air 4 hours a day, though.
Well, that's another part of it. Does this count while I'm on? Like right now, is this counting?
Right now it's counting.
Okay, well, but I mean, when I'm on, I'm constantly looking at my phone because people are sending
me
notes.
So you're checking your phone often in breaks?
Always, so every break.
So you are on your phone more during the week than you are on weekends?
Well, you tell me. How do I find that out? That's an interesting question.
It delineates it by day.
It's the time of self-discovery.
Okay, screen time. Here we go. Yeah, much more. So here, Sunday, I'm below average. Here, can you look at this? This is my Sunday is below this little green dot.
Oh, wow,
line,
yeah.
And all the weekdays are above the little green dot.
There you
line.
Go.
So that's good.
But I mean, for work purposes, you need to have it on, it seems like, at times, and that's okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something about that. From now on, anyone who needs anything from me while I'm on the air, text Hembo. And just have him
email.
Or text Jack.
Text Jack.
Schefter's definitely on his phone now because Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes extended through the 2027 season.
Oh, we have breaking news. Dan Campbell is an excellent coach. I love him. I think he is an absolutely outstanding coach, and I couldn't be happier to see that work out. Like, that's just someone. They're a terrific team. That said, I think they missed their window. I think their shot to win the championship was last year.
Explain yourself.
I think they're getting surpassed in their own division. I think Green Bay is now better than them. I think Green Bay was a coming. And I think Detroit had it. Like, look at all the throughout history. Look how many teams lose games in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, that we think, oh man, well, that was just the beginning. You know they'll be back. How many times is that team not back? The Lions had the 49ers dead to rights in their own building in the NFC Championship game. How about when Buffalo lost that game 13 seconds against Kansas City? Well, that was a heartbreaking loss, but you know they'll be back. They'll clearly take that one more step. How's that worked out? Cincinnati in that Super Bowl against the Rams. Oh, look how close they've come. Look how good and young their quarterback is. Oh, they'll certainly be back. How's that worked out? I'm old enough to remember Dan Marino getting to the Super Bowl against Joe Montana, his second year in the NFL, set the world on fire. Oh, Marino, the first of what will unquestionably be five Super Bowl appearances, never got back. You miss that chance, you miss that chance. Green Bay is going to be better than Detroit next year.
It's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about it this way, but since the Bears won the Super Bowl in 1985, only once since the Packers got Favre, has another team from that division even gotten there. It was of course Chicago in 2006. But that's
and
it.
They played them. Was that the year they played the Packers?
No, that was 2010.
What was the year Cutler got hurt?
That was 2010.
2010.
'06 was the year the Bears with Grossman. They won.
Got to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gotten to the Super Bowl. I thought you meant gotten to the NFC Championship.
Oh no. The only Super Bowl team.
Spent a lot of time in the NFC Championship game either, teams from that division.
That's what I'm saying. In part because they've had these Packers teams that have been legendary, or at least within their own division.
And so is this kid, Jordan Love, about to be that good?
That good is like first ballot Hall of Fame good. I don't know. But he looked special the last dozen or so games last season.
And that team is getting better and
better. They should have beaten San Francisco.
They should have beaten San Francisco. Detroit should have beaten San Francisco. The only team that beat San Francisco was Kansas City, and they shouldn't have beaten
San Francisco. I would not be surprised if the NFC Championship game next season was Lions-Packers. Not at all surprised.
Lions-Packers?
I think they're both still ascending.
How about Packers-Eagles?
I think the Eagles are descending.
The Eagles are descending.
Eagles are descending.
With a young quarterback in Jalen Hurts who theoretically hasn't even entered his prime, who is now in his, fourth year as a full-time starter, and the addition of Saquon Barkley, you think they are descending?
I think they are descending. You're never going to see a better team with a better chance to win the Super Bowl than the one they had 2 years ago when they lost to Kansas City.
Then what you're telling me is Jalen Hurts is not as good as we thought he was.
Not necessarily, but I don't think Jalen Hurts is a set your floor at a conference championship game every year type quarterback.
Who is?
Patrick Mahomes is. Josh Allen is almost there. Lamar Jackson is almost there. But aside from those guys right now,
Burrow?
No one else is. I need to see Burrow rebound from this injury, I think, before I'm willing to go there again. But he was before the injury, for sure. But they're all in the AFC. The Eagles roster just can't be as good. Jalen Hurts is making 20 times more money than he was that season because he got paid. And the roster deteriorated as a result. And then teams start to pluck away your coordinators. That's what you're saying about the windows. I don't think the Lions have missed theirs. I do think the Packers are about to leap.
No, the difference between the Lions and the Eagles, though, is that your window stays open as long as you have the great quarterback. Jared Goff is a good quarterback. He is not as good as I think we perceive Jalen Hurts to be. No one will ever convince me Jalen Hurts was healthy last year. I think his knee was bothering him all year long, and he did what football players do, which is he didn't whine about it. He just went out there and played, and his performance suffered as a result of it. I think he is as good a player as we thought he was going to be. They have unimaginably good weapons. They got some pieces to replace on that offensive line, obviously, and the defense went to hell in a handbasket last year, but it can't possibly get worse. I think the Eagles are going to win that division for this year for sure, and I put them right there with San Francisco, Green Bay, Detroit obviously doesn't go away, and I like Atlanta. I think we are selling Atlanta short.
No matter how good your quarterback is, though, and I think Jalen Hurts is really, really good, it's not every single year that you're going to still reach a certain place. Like, there were 2 years in a row that the Steelers missed it with Big Ben. There were 3 years in a row that the Saints missed it with Breeze. Even the Packers
missed
and Rodgers missed the playoffs entirely.
Okay, well, the Eagles may as well have missed the playoffs entirely last year.
And so you're telling me Jalen Hurts isn't as good as you thought he was?
No, I'm saying you just said the really good quarterbacks every once in a while have the bad year. Last year was the bad year.
No, I'm saying
I'm
multiple
expecting him to
years.
Come back like, with a good year.
There's a window of time that these things have a chance to happen in. The Eagles reached the very peak of it. Now, they could still win, but the team just can't be as good. That's what I'm saying about the Eagles. I think the Lions and the Packers are still ascending. They left past the Eagles last year, and they're continuing to get better, while the Eagles, I think, at best, can maintain where they've been.
What part of the Lions are ascending?
What part of the Lions
are
ascending?
Why are they getting better?
I mean, the Lions' entire nucleus, aside from the quarterback, have been players they've drafted within the last 3 years. All of them. Jahmyr Gibbs was a rookie last year.
Right.
Laporta is a stud. Jack Campbell, the linebacker, stud. The linemen, the Penny Sewells of the
right.
world.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
They're all young players.
They have, but so you meaning they're just going to get better based upon being together?
Yes. I mean,
so,
they
but
have
I would say
this,
the same thing about Green Bay.
I agree with
Green
that.
Green Bay has all those same things.
That's why I think they're the class of the conference right now. Those are the top two teams. Those are the top two teams. They may have been passed in their division, but no one else in the conference has passed the Lions, in my opinion. The Lions are loaded, just like the Packers are.
Let's talk about the Eagles, Cam. Your fellow Eagles compadre here, Hembo, is painting a very bleak, pessimistic picture. How do you feel, Cameron?
I was so down on the coordinators last year, and I thought that they were the biggest reason why they took such a nosedive at the end of the season, that I'm a lot more optimistic than Hembo is. I think Kellen Moore is going to do great things with the read option, with all the weapons they have on the offense, and Vic Fangio is a Hall of Famer. So I don't think it can get worse. I am very concerned about the loss of Jason Kelce in the middle on the offensive line, and obviously Fletcher Cox on the defensive line, and the Eagles have to draft a corner, and they have to shore up the linebacking core. So there's still a lot of work to do, but I think they will bounce back from the 6-7 loss slide they had at the end of the season.
It was the 30th ranked defense in the league last season. I mean, Vic Fangio is not taking you from 30th to 5th.
But he's taking
which is
you
why
from
they're adding pieces.
15th.
Like, it's not just him.
He's a great
they
coach.
Got C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. They're going to shore up everything that they can, which obviously is less than they'd like to now that they're paying Hurts and other people a lot of money, but it's going to get better, I think.
It's going to get better.
It can't get worse. Their players are too good to have been this bad.
Yeah, but the back seven, the linebackers in the secondary are still as bad as you'll find in the NFL, even today. Even with the Gardner-Johnson addition, they don't have guys that can cover. The spine of their defense is very, very weak. The only position group that's a strength there is the defensive front, and that helps. But the NFL play callers are far too good now not to take advantage of the linebackers and the corners and the safeties the Eagles have on the back end.
When do they draft?
The Eagles draft at 20. Remind me
what happened. There was a moment in time when the Eagles were legendarily had
22.
The team that had the two first-round picks, and they didn't need the quarterbacks and everything. I don't know why I'm not remembering this off. What did they do with those picks? What wound up happening? Did they use them? Did they trade them? Where are they with those?
They used and traded them. One of them was for Carson Wentz. Another one they got a year in advance from Cam. You have to remind me, but it was New Orleans that gave us a one. Who was that for, Cam? Can you remember? And A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is one of the picks that they got, that they traded, and they got A.J. Brown for one of those picks. But those things have long since expired.
Right.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
So they just have normal picks like everybody else now.
They haven't banked picks in high rounds the way that they have in past years.
Right. So they're just making one pick. Mm-hmm. So they can't like totally fortify a defense or whatever it is. Like,
oh, no.
I'm still optimistic.
They have the Saints' second-round pick this year, so they pick at 22, 50, and 53.
All right. Look,
that's what it is.
I am much more optimistic on them, and I think their primary competitor is taking a major step backwards. I think that has a chance to be a very bad division. I don't think the Giants are going to be very good. The Commanders, I think, will start getting better, but they have a long way to go. And I think the Cowboys are going to take a big step back, definitively. So I think the Eagles will win that division somewhat easily. College basketball on the home stretch. Tune in tonight. ACC Tournament Quarters presented by Robinhood. Coverage on most of these ESPN radio stations. Coming up, my absolute favorite tweet, not just of today, but maybe that I've ever seen. It made me laugh so hard. Plus, Hembo Trivia, let's go.
I am looking at a list of Yankees to win the MVP award since 1931. That is when the writers began voting for the award. There are five Yankees that have won multiple MVPs since 1931. Five Yankees to win multiple MVPs since 1931, and you are going to give me all five Yankees.
Five Yankees who have won multiple MVPs as Yankees since 1931. The answer next on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is agonizing. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're agonizing over this question. Go ahead, Hembo.
I am looking at a list of Yankees to win the MVP award since 1931. The reason I cut it off there is because that's when the writers began voting for it. There are five Yankees that have won the MVP multiple times since 1931, and you're going to have to give me all five Yankees.
Now, we have a lot of names written down here. There's three of them that are indisputable that I know without, I didn't have to ask anybody, I didn't have to think about it for more than 2 seconds. So I'm just going to say all three of them. Three of them are DiMaggio, Berra, and Mantle.
Correct, correct, correct.
Yeah, okay.
So, each one, three.
Right.
With
so
the Yankees.
That one we didn't have to think about. So there's two more. So the question is, would Lou Gehrig have won two MVPs in the 30s? So that was after, most of that was after Ruth. I mean, Ruth's final years with the Yankees were in the mid-1930s, and DiMaggio didn't get there till the end of the 30s. So Gehrig would have been the star of those, the best player on those teams for a period of time in the mid-1930s. Roger Maris certainly won the MVP in 1961. I think he won another as a Cardinal. I don't think he won another as a Yankee. I can't decide, Bubba, did A-Rod win one or two MVPs as a Yankee? He definitely won one. Did he win another?
Well, he won in Texas, and I thought he only won two total. One Texas, one New York, but
I don't think Reggie Jackson or Dave Winfield won multiple MVPs as Yankees. And Aaron Judge, he won this past year, But he got beat out by Otani 1 year, and he got beat out by Altuve 1 year. So I think he's only won one.
I mean, when did A-Rod win? It was that.
He won the year they won the World Series, right? In 2008. Didn't he win the World Series?
I don't think so.
Didn't he win the MVP?
09. I don't think so.
'09.
He was like postseason MVP, but I think he won in 07.
Yeah, I'm picturing 07.
And that he hit like 50 homers or something. And right. I don't think there was another, but it's possible. I would vote for Lou and Maris.
For Gehrig and Maris, meaning it hasn't happened in 60 years.
What did A-Rod do in 2013? For some reason, that year is sticking out to me.
Is that when he started getting suspended?
That's the point. How long ago did that happen?
A big year for them, or is that when he was going on talk shows getting suspended?
It was like the mid-2010s when he started. So he had he had a decade there before that started happening. So he certainly had enough time. I just don't think he did it.
All right, we can't take all day with this, so let's make
sure. we should start with Lou.
Are we going to start with Gehrig? All right, we're going to start with Lou Gehrig.
That's wrong.
Oh!
Lou Gehrig won one MVP after 1931, and he won one before 1931.
Stink.
That's agonizing. Is it Maris?
Yes.
Damn it. What year did he win besides 61?
60. He won in 60 and in 61.
I knew it.
Damn it. And then we're missing one more? Is it A-Rod?
It's A-Rod.
Oh, no!
That is so brutal.
Agonizing.
What year was it?
What years did he win?
He won in 05 and 07.
Oh, 05.
07.
You were thinking too late in his career with the Yankees.
05. God.
That is excruciating.
I thought you had it.
I
thought you had it.
So, I mean, Gary... It's excruciating that he won one before 31. We cut it off in the middle of a player's career. I named a two-time MVP.
You sure did.
And it was just one of them predated the arbitrary date you
Sorry
selected.
Sorry we didn't remember.
And he finished in the top five of voting like six times over that span, but only one MVP win.
Yeah. All right. That's excruciatingly painful. All right. let's move on to something that'll make me feel better. I saw a tweet. This is not actually good, but it still made me laugh.
When you tweet all that stuff out, guess what? Da-da-da-da-da-da, we got it.
My favorite tweet of the day.
So, I mean, this obviously isn't a good thing, but it made me laugh. I'm going to read you, without comment, a tweet from the Pittsburgh Penguins Twitter account. And it reads as follows. The Penguins announced today that the shipment carrying the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads for tonight's game has been stolen en route to Pittsburgh. As a result, the bobbleheads will not be distributed at tonight's game, but will be distributed at a later date. All fans in attendance will receive a voucher that includes a one-time scannable barcode that will be required to pick up the bobblehead at a later date. Location and dates for pickup will be shared when the items are safely located or new bobbleheads are produced and available for distribution. Again, this is not a good thing. No one is happy that all the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads have been stolen. But you have to think. So how many people fit in their arena? Probably something between like 17 and 20,000. I don't know how many people you could put in that building. So certainly between 15 and 20,000. Someone stole 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. Like, where do you keep 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads?
And what is their plan? Like, what are they going to do with
them? Where that's what are 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads? Who wants 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads? Like, in what right now, Bubba, if I said to you, hey, I will just give you 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads, would you say, well, why do you hate me so much? Yeah. Like, what do you expect me to do?
The thing I don't understand is, if you have these and you're gonna, I guess, theoretically sell them or do something, I think it's been pretty obvious you're the person who stole the bobbleheads, because it's not like it's a pretty clear thing that you stole. It's not like you can hide him or something. It's a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead. So if all of
it's a
sudden,
truck.
Yeah, if these start coming up on the open market, they're going to be like, okay, well, you're the person who stole. I don't like. What is the what's the end game here? I'm very confused.
I'm confused too. I'm thinking about the
unless the guy just wants to, unless he's just going to keep them.
Yeah, like the ads section, they're like, for sale, 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads.
That's cash only.
Pretty suspicious. First of all, I mean, I have so many questions. How were they stolen? Like, was the truck stolen? Or did someone like hold up the truck driver and then open up the back of the truck and take the bobbleheads out?
And put them where?
Or that's what I mean.
In a plane?
Well, your own truck. You would have to have an another equally large truck. But what it would strike me as a poor use of your efficiency. Just leave the bobbleheads in the truck and steal the truck.
We have a statement.
Okay.
It's worth reading.
Penguins President of Business Operations Kevin Acklin. We were shocked to be a victim of cargo theft, and we are working closely with local and federal authorities on the investigation. While this unfortunate incident adds to the legend of Jaromir Jagr, who will be in attendance as our guest at tonight's game, we look forward to resolving this theft and delivering the prized Jagr bobbleheads to their rightful homes with our fans.
Well, that's an interesting question. Does it add to the legend of Jaromir Jagr?
Absolutely.
I guess it does, right? I mean, he's the guy who had his 20,000 bobbleheads stolen.
Doesn't happen every day.
It's cargo theft. So maybe they were being... Does that mean they were being shipped?
Like, probably. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Ship?
So maybe...
They're probably coming from another country, right?
Maybe in transit.
Maybe they're being manufactured in some other country. They're being shipped here. They were stolen like on a loading dock on some, you know, somewhere. Well, apparently all of them.
Did someone try to steal like a bunch of drugs and accidentally stole 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads?
Oh, did you get the heroin? Now hold on a minute. What is it? Oh, it's 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. what the hell are we going to do with this?
The worst thief ever.
What are the chances that some criminal somewhere just reaches out to them anonymously and says, "Listen, I want you to have these back. This is not what I meant."
This sounds like the plot of the new Oceans movie.
Send him to Czechoslovakia.
Can bygones be bygones? Can someone come get these?
It did happen in Pittsburgh. Has anyone checked in on the Pirates?
All right, we got to figure this thing
That's
out.
That's good.
I have 20,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.